That there is an old-time favorite, amen? And you know, it's really sweet to watch you guys singing like with joy and owning it. You know, I know, and I'm going to beat this horse once more. Have you been focusing on the cross? Last week was the week, man, we celebrated, but are we living it out? Are we walking in the power of the blood? We're trying. You know, most of this message, I have to tell you, you know what, I probably shouldn't say this, so I won't. But a discussion I had this week prompted this message. No, I'll mention no names to protect the innocent. But I'm excited to see what God's going to do through this time, because I'm excited what he's done on the cross for us. And I will confess again, I think I take the cross for granted. I don't know that it pierces me the way it should. I don't fully understand exactly what he experienced on the cross. I will never, thankfully, know what it is to be separated from God. He is the one that had that relationship ripped apart. And that we can't even begin to comprehend. At least I can't. And if you know something of that, please share with me so I can share with others. So before I begin, I'd like to open with prayer. Father, I thank you for this time that we focus on you. God, I pray that your spirit would move in a mighty and powerful way. Well, no, continue to move in a mighty and powerful way here, under the tent, in the cars, on the property. God, I pray that you would pierce the darkness, that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would be receptive to your word, that we would have a new desire, uncontrollable desire, to know more about you. God, I ask that you would use this time to bring us one step closer to where you would have us be, not just for today, but until you come again. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So several weeks ago, we saw that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, what it is? The power of God. And I just confess, I leave that on the table. But when we look at the purpose of the cross, we find it makes a statement of God's love for us. Do you realize how much he loved us? He loved us this much. It's the biggest hug we can possibly ever even think to imagine. How much does God love us? He gave his life for us. The cross, listen, defeated Satan. He has no power except for what we allow him to have. He has no hold on me because of the cross. And it opens the way to heaven for those who believe. Do you believe there's a God? Do you believe Jesus paid the debt? Do you believe that you are seated with him right now in heaven? That's the part I can't wrap my head around. As much as I don't fully comprehend my sinful nature, my bent to do exactly what is displeasing to God, I don't understand. I am seated in heaven already. Jesus called out from the cross. It is finished. And this is what's difficult with this Christian faith. We seem to think we have to do. It's not by works. It's by faith. And we believe that sin and death are conquered. When the power of the cross is applied to our lives, something awesome takes place. Sin dies. It has no hold on us. Hell is defeated. I'm not going there. I've said this before. This is as close to hell as I can ever get, as far from heaven as I'll ever be. That's where I stand right now. And heaven is promised. Do you know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you breathe your last today, right now, would you spend eternity in heaven or in hell? There are options. We are eternal beings. My son has a t-shirt. It says we're spiritual beings having an earthly experience. And this is why it doesn't make sense. I've never experienced sinlessness. So I'm trying to be sinless. But the best I can do, because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, is sinless. So I don't sin as much as I did yesterday, and hopefully tomorrow I'll sin less than I did today. And when I get to eternity, I will have practiced on earth what I'm going to do for eternity. Walk, sit, praise, honor, glorify God forever and ever. I can't wait. So today we're going to look at what takes place when we acknowledge the cross and come to Jesus for salvation. And to do that, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 9. Let me read it for you if you don't have a Bible. As for you, that's you and me, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we're by nature deserving of wrath. But because of God's great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. What takes place when we come to Christ? For the most part, we recognize that we have a problem. We as people are in a terminal condition. We recognize we're not going to make it through this life relying on our own strength. We recognize that we need a Savior. These points stand true. But if that's all you see, you only see a portion of the gospel. Remind me once more, class, what does gospel mean? Good news. I would like to say it's fantabulously great news. So what's the opposite of good news? Why is it there's always, we want first, the good news or the bad news? It seems like they always go together. You know, my friend Steve Hollinger last week said, you know, you have to be in the darkness to see the light. If we don't see the bad news, we don't need to rejoice in the good news. So this morning, can we look a little more closely at the bad news so we can get the full measure, the benefit of the good news? If you have your Bibles open, look at verses 1 through 3 in Ephesians 2. Because, boy, are we exposed to the bad news. These aren't my words. This is God's word. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you... In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. I'm so glad we're not disobedient. Oops. This is for me. And you, all of us, lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of death. No. Oh, the wrath of God. You know what that is? It's death. Do you realize that Jesus didn't survive the wrath of God? What makes you think we can? This is focusing on the cross. Jesus did something I can't do. He did it out of love. And I keep taking it for granted. What am I thinking? The Bible speaks of three kinds of death, each as a position. There's first the physical death. This body's going to die one day. It's going to go over there, back to the ground, to the ashes from which it came. Second, there's spiritual death. That's separation from God. And some are there. And sometimes I'm there. And then third, there's the second death. This is a death you don't want to even come close to. It's eternal. It's complete and utter, never-ending separation from a holy and loving God. That, my friend, is bad news. So what separates us from God? Is it this myriad of space? The clouds? Some measure of distance, would you say? Sin! Sin is falling short. It's missing the mark. But there's another term we need to address here, and it's trespasses. See, I think about the sin. I confess the sin. But what about the trespass? Trespass is crossing the line. It's willful disobedience, defiance, rebellion. That defines me. That's me. That's you. It's our nature. We need to recognize our shortcomings, our sin. And we need to recognize our disobedience, trespasses. These are the things that separate us from God. And if we minimize the severity of sin, if your way of thinking is, hey, it's so watered down to the point where you say, I'm not so bad. No, really, I'm not so bad. I'm a good person. What I do doesn't affect anybody else. You will minimize the desperate need for and the realization of what Christ has accomplished on the cross for you and me. I don't want to take that for granted another day. Every time I have a bad thought, I want it to kick me. You know, I quit smoking because someone told me, you know, James, when you exhale, it's like blowing smoke in Jesus' face. I'm like, man, I never thought of that. Like, thanks for this body. I'll take good care of it. Thanks, Jesus. Don't take the cross for granted. We need to understand where we were and where we are today. We were dead in our trespass and sin. It is the finished work of Christ that we're made alive. You know, it's not in my notes, but are you living or are you dead? We'll get to that. If you find yourself saying, oh, woe is me, or I know I should, I know I could, instead of, I'm forgiven, I'm a child of God, get behind me, Satan. With Christ's help, I can get through this. If that's not you, you're giving Satan undeserved credit. I got him. We're walking around like, don't! Stand in the authority you have from the accomplished work on the cross. If the enemy, who remains nameless, has any opportunity to delude our thoughts or deceive us on the position in which we stand, listen, in Christ. Is anybody here in Christ? Is Christ in you? Power, authority, in Jesus' name. Behind our sin, those wrongful doings, that falling short, lies sin itself. It's my nature. And it has a detrimental condition that we just can't get away from. It doesn't go away. It's a constant battle. Has anybody conquered sin here besides Jesus? No one has ever sat me down and said, James, I want you to know and understand this. When somebody asks you to sit still and be quiet, it really means run around and cause chaos. It just comes natural to me. I'm sure Adam and Renee are not having sleepless nights because they can't come up with a good plan on how to train their children, Jackson and Jason, to be disobedient. That is going to come naturally for them. The truth of the matter is we're sinful from birth. Who taught you? Yeah, the snake. Preach it, sister. We're spiritually dead from birth. That's where we begin. That's where we stand. Until, you know, I appreciate your prayer that Adam and Renee would raise their children to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're born dead. Spiritually, that's their condition. That's our condition until Christ. So because we're dead, we can't move, we can't think, we can't act. We have no hope. And this is what we rarely even think about. Where was I? Where am I? And when we think about that, holy smokes, we can sing our praises to God. So let's look at the first few words of Ephesians 2 at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, it's because of his great love that you and I can even come to Christ. We must understand that shallow views of our sin are shallow views of the cross. We don't really think about what God has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's where the power is. That's the foundation of our faith. It is God that gave life to you. Or it is God who offers that life to you. Now here's the question. Will you pick it up and take it? Run with it. Or are you going to leave it on the table another day and go, oh, woe is me? Look at verse 5. God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. You and I were dead, and he made you alive. How could it come from anywhere else if you're dead? Have you ever seen somebody dead? They're lifeless. They don't move. They don't get up. They don't smile. They don't wink. They're dead. God reached out to you. He created in you what didn't exist before. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. He did a work in us. And I don't know how it works. I'm just glad he chose to do it in me. And I had the wisdom and the knowledge to say, yes, Lord. It's at this point we begin to love him. We desire to know more about him. I confess, when I was 26, man, I was going to work late. I was self-employed. But I couldn't put my Bible down. It was like, it's 9 o'clock. I should be at work. So I work until 7. We want to change. We get new convictions. Our priorities change. We want to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We sang about it. I saw your lips moving, man. Did you hear the questions? Would you be sin set free? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You need to answer that question. I am. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt where I stand for eternity. That's why I can say, what's that last verse in Revelation? Come, Lord Jesus, come. He can come tonight. I'm good with that. Why wait? You know, when we lay ourselves at the foot of the cross, we say, Lord, it is far better for me to die to myself and live for you. That's what we want to do with the cross. And the question arises, how do I do that? God gave you the power. It's yours. Pick it up. I need more power, Jesus. Get me through this. Look at verse 6. We find the answer. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I'm not here on this earth. I'm seated in heaven. I don't know how that works. Absent from this body, present with the Lord. It's done. It's completed at the cross. Being raised up speaks to me a new life. We have been raised up, listen, from death in sin to, listen, life in Christ. I was dead, now I'm alive. God does it. We have a supernatural power living in us. And it brings about change, but it's a progression. It may take a lifetime, but something happens to us. Our actions change, our thoughts change. How? Through the Holy Spirit living in us. Father, I want them to be one as you are in me, that they would be in us. I remember the day in October 2004 when my focus changed. It changed from myself to reaching out to others. I'm still using the gifts and talents I have, but to benefit others instead of me. I want to say that's a great change. That's good. I went from self to others, but there's more. There's so much more. There's a radical change that takes place. Have you experienced it? I was. Now I am. We have power that only comes from Jesus. Paul is stating that you have a position in Christ, a new power, a new capacity to be more than you were before. You know what happens when you focus on the cross? You're no longer a slave to sin. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be pushed around by evildoers. Those little minions that say, come on, you're not hurting anybody else. The power is given to you by God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives in you. He lives in you. You've been raised with Jesus. So many people seem to think, well, Jesus, you don't know. This sin's too big. I can't get over it. I can't get under it. I can't get around it. That's a lie. You need to know this truth today. You can't out-sin your Savior. Can't be done. When you're in Christ, you have the power to say, get behind me, Satan. I will not be pushed around. Look at verse 6. This isn't enough good news. There's more good news. God has secured heaven for us, for those who believe. Not everyone, for those who believe. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated, past tense, done. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We're seated with him in the heavenly realms. That which must be accomplished, listen, has already been done. Getting into heaven is not based on what you have or have not done. It is based on what Jesus has done. It's in Jesus alone. You can't do anything. Receive it. Live in it. Walk in it. Have you come to the realization of what took place at that crossroad in your life when you came to Christ? Have you been there? For me, it was 2004. And others. And this is an ongoing thing. I rise, I fall, I rise, I fall, I rise, I fall. When you come to Christ, life was given to you. Jason, Jackson have no life. They're living, but they're dead. And hopefully Adam and Renee will instill and they'll find out that, hey, there's more and I need to. But until you come to that crossroad, until you experience Christ, you have no life. So not only do you receive life, when you accept Christ, you receive power. Power to say no to sin. Power to change. When you come to Christ, heaven is secured. Nothing can take it away from me. Ever. And if that wasn't enough, and you're saying, wait, James, there's more? Yes. God showered grace on you. Have you thought about the cross and what it involves? It makes a difference for eternity. It impacts your life for eternity. You get life. You receive power. Heaven secured. You get grace. That's what happened when you came to Christ. Don't take my word for it. Look at verses 5 through 8. God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. This incomparable grace is expressed in his kindness. Incomparable means there is no other. There's nothing that equals his love. His grace, his forgiveness, and we have access to it. Don't leave it on the table another day. Grace comes to those unlovable, enemies of God, dead in sin. I was there, and now I'm alive in Christ. It gets better than that. When we come to Christ, we're saved. Verses 5 and 8 tell us it's by grace you have been saved. The question that tends to come up is, saved from what? We're saved from being pushed around by those evil little demons. We're saved from that. ultimately we're saved from the wrath of God. Have you thought about the cross? Has it impacted your life? Because I'm telling you, until like this past month, have I really focused on it? Has it really pierced me? Look at verses 8 and 9. God gave faith to you. These are all gifts. These are all benefits. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. It's not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. It's a gift. And at some point you have come to a crossroad in your life and you took the action. You believe. Some people can mark the date. That's what your salvation is. It's a turning point. It's a gift. Romans 10:13 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart, the core of your being, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's the power of God to those who are saved. And that power is in you and in me. You exercise your faith by coming to Christ. You exercise your faith by walking with Christ. Are you a faithful people? Or are you sightful people? I walk by faith, not by sight. We need to understand that faith is a gift from God to us. The fact that we were or are spiritually dead, how can we muster any forward motion in and of ourselves? It has to come from an outside source. He's doing a work in you. Now you just need to let go and come. Say, Lord Jesus, take a hold of my life. You understand you're broken upside down and backwards. Now take one more step to the cross and say, I want the power. I want to be washed. I want to be cleansed. I want to know more. I want to serve. When you come to the cross, when you acknowledge Jesus, it is explained to me this way. Your spiritual eyes are opened. Your spiritual ears are unstopped. You see the work of Christ. You hear the voice of God. And when you've made your decision to trust Him, you have to understand it was He who led you to that decision. I didn't choose to be saved. He chose me. And He wants none to perish. So He's choosing you. He created you to love Him. He created you to serve Him. Your decision is a gift from God. You need to understand we walk by faith, not by sight. So one more time, what happens when you come to Christ? Life is given to you. We receive power. Heaven secured. We're showered with grace. We're saved from eternal separation from a holy and loving God. And we receive faith. Where you stand comes down to who Jesus is to you. Last week some said, He's my Savior. What do you say? Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the cross. And I pray we would never take it for granted for one more second of the day. Father, I thank you that you choose to use broken, fallible, dented people to make a difference in your kingdom. Your word has gone out, and I pray that it falls on open hearts and minds, fertile soil, that you will have opportunity to do the work. Amen.